So, you know, there's never been a time when God has not been willing to take care of His kids. You know, He's always willing. He's always able. And that's really what has to stay in the forefront of our minds as believers. You know, we are called believers in the Word because we are believers. We believe God. That's who we are. That's what we do. And as we do, we see great things. You know, I was very blessed again to go to India and see some of the great things that God is doing. You know, like He's doing in your lives. He's doing in everyone's life who chooses to believe. You know, a lot of times people, sometimes, not a lot of times, but people know that I've been to India 4 times now, and they ask me, why do you keep going back? And the reason I keep going back is because I want to stay connected with what God is doing and where God is doing things. It's a very simple thing. You know, it's very simple. You know, their method of worshiping God and keeping God first in their life is very simple. It's not shrouded with religious rituals or tradition. It's a very simple affair of the heart. And God's doing great things there, not because it's India or it's a special place in God's mind, but because people are believing Him. People have great faith. You know, I again heard so many wonderful testimonies of deliverance and healing that, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, so what else is new? Is this surprising? No, it's not surprising. Because God is a God of deliverance. God is a God who desires His people to live more than abundantly, to prosper and be in health, to recognize that the beating that His Son took was for your healing and your deliverance. By His stripes, we were healed. It's a past tense reality. You know, anything and everything that we are faced with, God can deliver if we will just simply trust Him to do it. We have been hoodwinked into thinking that, well, if He wants to, He'll do it. There's this big if, there's this big condition, and it's all about God and whether or not He's willing. And yet in His Word, He has proclaimed time and time again, I am willing and I am able to do for you what you need me to do. If I don't do that, I look bad. This is God's speaking. Yeah. Right? If God was not willing to back up His promises for His Son, Jesus Christ, God would have looked bad. It was God who Jesus Christ wanted to make known. I am going to proclaim to you the Father. I am going to proclaim to you who this Heavenly Father is for you. He is for me a Father, and He can be for you a Father. There is nothing that God did not do for Jesus Christ. He got Him out of some pretty wild pickles from time to time. And whenever He spoke, and He spoke always God's desire and God's will, God backed those things up. Whenever someone came to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, heal me, He merely spoke the words, you're healed. And God empowered those words. You know, it's like that for us. If we will but simplify our heart before God and just believe what He has said, we will see great signs, miracles, and wonders. Just as simple as it is to tell confusion and doubt and fears to leave and they be gone, everything is that way. Everything is that responsive because the name of Jesus Christ is above every name. God has given that name to be the name of authority. And whenever we use that name, we see the same power and the same might manifest. It's just in people's minds. People have limited because of their doubt, their fear, their traditional views, and not come to the Word and said, this is what the church looks like. In the book of Acts is what the church looks like. Now, I don't go to India because I see the book of Acts alive there. Because if I don't have a chance to go to India every day, I can go to the Word and see what the church is to look like. And to remind myself of what I am in Christ and what He has called me to do and what He has called each of us to do. You know, we have got to bring our heart and our perspective up to this Word and not keep bringing the Word down to us. Because everything that the Word of God speaks of is true. When it speaks of you as a son or a daughter of God and the authority that you have, it speaks truly. And it says that we can do the works that Jesus Christ did. You know, I heard many, many great testimonies in India. One of the, I guess, astounding ones was when the woman in Amritsar stood up in the fellowship. She wanted to give her testimony. And she was sitting on a concrete, you know, slab floor with a little blanket covering it. Something that would have made me challenged to get up off of. And she was at least my age. And she'd been sitting there for a good 45 minutes. You know, through the singing and the enthusiasm of how their manner is over there. And
should I go get it? I have the picture.
The picture?
You sent me
yeah,
a picture.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Did you print it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And she stood up. She wanted to give her testimony. And she began to share how that she had only been to fellowship for the past 2 months. She'd come about 2 months ago. And, you know, after a couple of weeks of coming to fellowship, it dawned on her that she could be delivered. She needed healing. She needed great healing in most people's eyes because she had had polio 35 years ago and was left crippled from it. She could not walk. And yet she stood up and gave her testimony that she had been healed. She had been ministered to. She had been healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And that she was so thankful to God because she could now live her life. Another woman stood up and said she was an older woman and she had given her testimony about how that she had had a hard time seeing and hearing. She couldn't hear very well. She couldn't see very well anymore. She came to know that it was God's desire and God's will for her to be healed. That in the name of Jesus Christ, she could be healed. She's been healed. She can now hear perfectly. She can see perfectly again. And this is something that doesn't cost any money. And so they're very thankful for that because they don't have any money. They have ways to get doctors' care and medicine. They go to doctors all the time. About 30 minutes into the fellowship, we'd been hearing many testimonies, and the one woman that had polio stood up, and I looked at her. You know, we all looked at her because she stood up. You know, we were like, oh, she must have another testimony. She said, no, I just wanted to say that I'm so very thankful that I could be here and meet you all and share my testimony with you, and that now I have to leave. I'm sorry, but I have to leave because my husband is in the hospital. My husband's in the hospital. He's jaundiced and he's in the hospital because they're trying to find out why. Trying to figure out what's wrong. And she said, but she looked at everyone and she said, but I know that if God could heal me, He can heal my husband. And so I'm going to go there and spend some time with him and encourage him. And this is the kind of faith that they have. You know, this is why things are happening for them. Because they have no doubt. Some do. Some of them doubt. But the ones that don't see. And that really is the heart of what we all need to stay focused on. Is that when we do have faith, God will deliver. You know, there was another fellowship that we went to in Mathura, which is it's south of Delhi a little ways. And it's a new area. And the reason that we went there was because one reason it was a new area and Sangha had never been there. He wanted to meet some of the leaders, the young leaders. The reason that it's beginning to explode is because there are young leaders, teenagers and early 20s, young people that are taking the Word there and receiving the Word and speaking it boldly and ministering healing and seeing great signs, miracles and wonders happen. And we went to this fellowship, and after the fellowship was over, we had seen some heard many, many great testimonies. One young man stood up and said the reason that he was there is because he had run into one of the believers and he'd had a really large boil on his stomach. You know, like the size of a grapefruit type of boil. And it was very painful for him. And, you know, the believer noticed that, you know, he was, what's the matter? What's the matter? And he said, oh, I have this problem. He goes, well, that's not a problem. In the name of Jesus Christ, you can be healed. This is not a problem. No. It's not a problem for God. And so, you know, he shared that he said, yes, I believe that. And then he lifted up his shirt and all you could see was this little dot where the boil had been. Just a little dot. And he said it was very, very big. Completely delivered. Completely healed. Just a little dot. Just to remind him what was there and how God had healed him. You know, many other great things. And after that fellowship was over, this was a new fellowship. And there were, maybe 80 to 100 people there. Very rural village. And it was all these people were there because these youth had been out sharing the word with people and ministering to them and showing them God's power. Showing them the power. Demonstrating the power. And all these people had come because they'd heard healing is available. We must have been ministering healing for 45 minutes or an hour after that fellowship. And just one person after the next. One person after the next. It was Tom West and I were standing together with Happy, and Happy was translating for us because all these people speak Hindi. They don't speak English. And so Happy was translating for us. Nozomi was... Sangit's daughter was with Richard Small and his two sons, and they were ministering at one end. Tom and I were in the middle, and then Scott Tonnelier, who was with us, was standing with Raj Sutan, one of the wonderful leaders there, and he was translating for him. And we just ministered. The three different groups, just people coming up, one after the next, to be healed, to be delivered. And we saw great things. And at the very end, a young man came up. He couldn't have been more than 17 years old. And he came up and he said he wanted to be ministered to. And I shared this with our fellowship last weekend. But I share it again because it struck me as such a great example of their faith. And most people would not come to this point. But this young man was at that place in his life. He came, he wanted to be ministered to. I said, yes, he'd like you to minister to him. I said, okay, well, what's the problem? He looks healthy to me. He was wearing a long sleeve shirt and it was covering his hands. You know how the kids these days, they wear long sleeve shirts and the button, this cuff button is open and it so it kind of hangs down. Well, I couldn't see his hand. And then he finally showed me his hand and he had a birth defect. He had no fingers. And he wanted me to minister to his hand. That his hand would grow back. And he looked at me with a look of anticipation, of a great, great anticipation and great expectancy that he would be delivered. I said, well, you obviously believe that you'd be healed. And Raj looked at me and said, oh yes, he's one of the leaders. He's one of our young leaders here. And I said, well then in the name of Jesus Christ, I command your hand to be whole. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, thank you. And he left. Knowing. And that was the fellowship that we had heard the testimony of the young man who overnight his teeth had grown back straight in his mouth. His dentist said, oh, we're going to have to pull them all out, maybe give you implants, do all these things. He said, no, I don't want to do that. I believe that God can deliver me. And he was ministered to and overnight his teeth came back in his mouth straight. See, these testimonies of deliverance inspire great confidence and trust in God for all of us. And this is why it's so valuable to us. This is what God wants us to know. This is what He knows the church should look like. This is what the church looks like. People coming and being delivered of the things that they have need of in their life. This is the church today, just like it was back in the book of Acts. And we've got to keep that vision. We've got to keep that mind, because that's the mind of Christ. We're to put on the mind of Christ, to have the same desire that Jesus Christ had, to make the Father known to people. There is no other way to make the Father known other than showing and demonstrating His desire, His will, manifesting the power of God. That's how we make Him known. We preach, we teach the written Word, but then we show them. This really is God's desire for you, if you can believe. See, and that's really what it's all about over there. And that's what it needs to be here. That's what it is among us, and we desire for that to be more and more known. Yeah, Deb.
I just found I have a little stopping point in my mind, like, well, fingers couldn't grow that. You know, but The Word says, well, all things are possible.
That's right. That's right.
And then, like, the guy that was embalmed and raised from the dead, And God had to, me being a nurse. How did he get the embalming fluid out and
right.
the blood, make
right.
blood go in?
Exactly.
I always believed God could raise from the dead. God never had a problem with raising from the dead, but I never thought, I always in my mind thought, if they're embalmed, This can't, you can't do it.
Right.
So
God can do anything.
Yeah, it's interesting.
If God can heal cancer, can remove a cancer tumor from you or from anyone, then he can do anything. He makes those things disappear. You know, he makes moles dry up and flake off. He makes whatever it is. You know, Jesus Christ ministered to a man with a withered hand and said, "Stretch forth your hand." He stretched it out and it became whole. This is something that only God can do. And that's the point that all of us need to come to, is that there are things that men can do, and yet we are very limited in comparison to what our Heavenly Father can do. And He wants us to know that He's there to do those things for us. He does so desperately want us to know that. He doesn't want us to doubt it. Jesus Christ made it known quite plainly. All that came to Him with faith were healed. He healed every one of them. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people were healed. All manner. That means some of them He couldn't heal. Right? No. All manner. We sat down with some of the believers. We had a leaders fellowship in Delhi at one point. I sat down with some of the leaders from Calcutta because we had met them last year when I went. I wanted to know how things were going in Calcutta because we'd been to their fellowship. At the time, there were maybe about 60 people in this one fellowship. Now, he said, we have 6 fellowships. And when we go back to Calcutta after the leaders fellowship, we're going to have to make 12 out of those 6 because there's just too many people. A couple of the fellowships have 200 to 250 people coming to the fellowship. And in these little villages where the alleyway between the houses is literally an alleyway, it isn't any wider than from here to the edge of the couch. I mean, it's just wide enough for, you know, one vehicle, a very small vehicle, to drive down, and then you have to jump out of the way almost, get in a doorway to allow it to come down the street. And most of the alleys, they don't drive down because they're that small, that tight. Now, he said that people are coming at 6 o'clock in the morning to make sure that they can get close enough to hear what's going on in the fellowship. Because if they wait till 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock, they can't get anywhere close. Because there's a mob of people trying to get in. So why? Why is this happening? He said, well, because there's all manner of sickness and all manner of disease being healed among the people. That's what he told me. This is what really brings people to know who God is and what God has provided through His Son, Jesus Christ, is the power that you and I have resident within us that we can display and show people. And it's about knowing that all things are possible with God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it may seem like. I looked at that young man's hand and I had not a shadow of a doubt that God was able to do that, that the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ would restore that young man's hand. Not one shadow of a doubt. And that's where we can be in our heart and in our life and in the things that God has for us to do. What has He called you to do? He's called you to be His son, His daughter, first and foremost, to know Him. And then to show people what He is and who He can be for them. In I think it's Matthew. Let's look at Matthew. No, Mark. Yeah, Mark. We'll start there. See, I'm so blessed to have had, again, another chance to go and be with those believers in India, because it does so much for my vision, for my what I see and what I know God is willing to do here, anywhere. Not just in the United States, not just in India, not just in Europe. Anywhere where there are people who absolutely say, this is what God's Word says, I will believe this, and I will move forward with it. I will not be afraid to speak the truth to someone. I will not be afraid to say to them, you can be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to a doctor. You can be healed. And if you believe it, you will be. It's all about knowing that with God all things are possible. In Mark chapter 9, you know, this man brings his son to the disciples and asks for them to heal him. Verse 17, it says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wherever he takes him, tears him, he foams, he gnashes with his teeth, he pines away. And I spake to the disciples, thy disciples, that they should cast him out. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And he answered and said, oh, you faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Did he say, well, they can't do it. No, they can't do it. They're not supposed to do it. Bring them to me. He didn't say that. He said, when are you guys going to believe? He'd already given them the authority. He knew, they knew they had the authority. And yet, there was some doubt there. They hadn't quite gotten to that place where they could do this one. He brought him to him. In verse 20, they brought him to him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him and fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. He's had this since he was a child. This spirit's been doing this to him. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Lord, if you can do anything, help us out here. And Jesus Christ said to him, if you can believe. There's the qualifier. It's not about the Lord Jesus Christ and whether or not He was willing to carry out the Father's will and heal this man, deliver him from this devil spirit. It was about that individual believing that he could. If you can believe, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believes. Not just some, but all things. All things that the Word of God speaks of as being possible to you are possible. All things. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, you have the authority over those spirits. You have them. Jesus Christ had the authority over them. He knew it. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You got to take it from here. I believe you. I believe you. And then Jesus saw the people running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, said, I don't want to go. Do I have to go? And rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that they said, he's dead. And Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. He wasn't dead at all. He was just a little bit torn up physically. And yet, Jesus Christ took him, stood him up, said, now you're whole. And Jesus, when he had come into the house, verse 28, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't we do it? We know that we have the authority to do it. How come we couldn't? And he answered them and said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The words "and fasting" are not in the two most or more valued texts, the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. "And fasting" is not in there. He said to them, it's not about fasting. Take that out of your mind right away. Scratch it out. But prayer, he says, nothing but by prayer. Okay? Now, did Jesus Christ pray when he ministered to that man? Doesn't say that. He saw the people walking, running around, and he said to the Spirit, get out and don't come back. So it can't mean about prayer for this situation right here and right now, but prayer in preparation for things that are going to come up. You know, when you spend time with your Heavenly Father and you pray, you talk things over. That's your fellowship time. Prayer isn't just asking Him for what you need. It's talking to Him. It's fellowshipping with Him. It's making requests of Him. God, open doors for me to share Your Word. I want to demonstrate Your power. You've said I have it. I want to do it too. And just work with me. You know, I believe You. Help me, you know, to believe You more. You know, this is preparation time. And then when the situation presents itself, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. You'll have the authority. You'll have that faith that you can look at the devil spirits and say, get out in the name of Jesus Christ and be gone. And know that it's that. It's about knowing. The time that you're faced with a challenge is not the time to muster up the faith to do it. It's the preparation time. And that's what he was encouraging them. Look, guys, you're too distracted. You're too distracted. You need to stay focused on your authority. He'd given them the authority. It's about knowing that with God all things are possible. It doesn't matter what it looks like to you and to me. With God, it's possible. It is possible. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see. Those that were oppressed of devil spirits were delivered, not by medications, but by the name of Jesus Christ. By understanding that, hey, these problems, these psychological problems that people may have are not caused just by chemical imbalances in your brain. Maybe sometimes that may be true, but 9 times out of 10, I'm willing to go with the way Jesus Christ perceived things. When he met the man at the tombs, he didn't ask for the psychology report on this guy. You must have a chart somewhere. Some doctor must have analyzed you. No. He said you cannot deal with spiritual realities by the flesh. When we recognize those things and aren't reluctant and ashamed to know the truth and speak it, we'll see great signs, miracles, and wonders. You know, I know of people that were diagnosed as schizophrenic that have been delivered because they've been approached with the understanding that these are devil spirits that are causing you to hear voices and see things and hallucinate. Devil spirits are doing this to you. I had a man come up to me after one of the fellowships and he began expressing his desire to be delivered and for his life to change. And he didn't know what was going on, but he said, through a translator, that everything he tried to do went wrong. He couldn't hold a job. I mean, anything he tried to do just went bad, went wrong. And he wanted his life to change. And I looked at him and I said, these are devil spirits following you around, causing you to fail, causing you to be afraid, causing you to doubt that you can do anything. And they're screwing things up. Do you understand that? Okay. I said, look at me. Because he was looking like this. Because that old devil spirit was saying, don't look at him. He's going to get rid of you. He said, look at me. Do you understand that? Yes, I do. Okay, then in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke those devil spirits from your life right now. You cannot have this man anymore. Get out and leave him alone. He looked at me. Okay, thank you. Okay, now you expect things to change. And if you start doubting, you cast those things away. That man received some help. We have to see the way God sees. We have to see it the way Jesus Christ, His Son, saw things. He wasn't reluctant to know. Look, God, show me what's going on. And believe that. Believe what God shows you. All things are possible. There's nothing that is impossible with God. Matthew 17, let's go there. Matthew 17. Regarding the same record, you know, His disciples in verse 19 said, why couldn't we do it? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You want to get stronger? You want to have more faith? What did He say in Mark? He said, pray. Practice the presence of God. Look to Him. Pray. Have some faith. Don't doubt. Because unbelief doesn't get anything done. Unbelief just keeps things rolling the way they are. We've got to have faith in the promises of God and in the power that God has given to each of us in order to demonstrate it. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know, the mustard seed, real small seed, right? Doesn't take much, take little. You shall say to this mountain, remove hence to a yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing's impossible for you because there's nothing impossible for God. And He has made you His son, His daughter, and He has given you the same authority that Jesus Christ had. It's Christ in you, isn't it? That's what it says. That's what the Word of God says. It's Christ in you. What does that mean? You have Jesus in you? No, it means you have Christ in you. What is it that made Jesus special? He was the Son of God. And at His baptism, the Spirit was put upon Him. He now had the authority of the heavenly realm upon Him. You and I have the same thing. It's Christ in you. It's that same Spirit that gave Him His authority is now in you as a son, as a daughter of God. These are things that most people just say, ah, you know what, you're a fruitcake, you're a nutcase. I'd rather just say that Christianity is just it's a good moral, ethical thing to live by. Well, you know, as long as we look at Christianity, which is what this really, that is what Christianity is. Christianity is just a good moral, ethical thing to live by. Thou shalt not kill, don't steal. Don't lie. Just be loving. Just walk in love. Okay? Just be nice. Okay? That's what Christianity is. But the Word of God in relation to what we are in Christ is right here. This is the church. I know what Christianity is. But this, in the book of Acts as it became known, is the church. You know what I see in India? I don't see Christianity. It's not Christianity. It's God in Christ, in those believers, showing the power of God that's available. It's what God has done and is doing in the lives of people. It's not what men have made it. And you know, there is Christianity in India. We went to Punjab, one of the states, right next to the state that Delhi is in, there's a state called Punjab. It's right on the border of Pakistan. It's a Sikh state, primarily. A lot of Sikhs there. That's, you know, a sect of Hinduism. And there's a lot of Christian churches there too. They see the same thing in the Christian churches that they see here. But the fellowships that God is moving in are the ones that have said, this is what I'm a part of. This. I'm a part of a fellowship that says, with God, nothing is impossible. That as I speak with faith, with confidence in God, then nothing shall be impossible to me. Those are strong words. But those are true words. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did He come back and negate those? Did He come back any time later on and say, oh, listen, remember what I said about nothing shall be impossible to you guys? Well, maybe I was a little wrong. Maybe I was a little extreme. Maybe I was, you know, pushing the limits a little bit. Sorry, guys. Didn't mean to give you false hope there. No, He didn't. He never negated those words. And nothing in the Word of God has ever negated those words. Ever since those were spoken. In the book of Acts, let's look there. Well, no, look at Luke 1, because this is important too. This is one of those great verses too that speaks volumes about who we really are. In Luke chapter 1, right, this was when the angel came to Mary, right? Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. Oh, but this is impossible. No, it's not. Not with God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she's conceived a son in her old age. Remember? Oh, yeah, that's right. She was barren. But with God, nothing's impossible. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For verse 37, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. And literally, the Greek should be translated, not anything spoken. With God, not anything spoken shall be impossible. Not anything that He has said is impossible. And if He says, through His Son, the works that He did, you shall do also, and greater, it's not impossible. Not impossible. So long as we take this step in our heart, what Mary did. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to the way I feel. According to what my neighbors have just told me is impossible. No. According to thy word. Because that angel was speaking God's word. He was sent by God, transmit a message. Here's the word. When we have that same heart, when we have that same faith, we will see the same things. We'll see the same things. In the book of Acts. Book of Acts chapter 18. You know, there's a great need for people to know what God's will is. Most people don't know. You know, they wonder. But God is very plain in His Word. Jesus Christ was very plain in proclaiming it. Right? He said, I always do the Father's will. I always do the Father's will. I haven't decided to do anything against His will. I could have. I got free will, just like all of you, but I'm going to do what the Father wants me to do. And so He made plain the Father's will. He healed, He delivered. He prepared people. And He built their faith, their confidence in God. And when He was resurrected from the dead, when God raised Him from the dead and ascended Him and sat Him on His own right hand and said, sit down for a while until I make your enemies your footstool. Just take it easy. Nice job. We got a few more things to do, you know, but great work. Now let's see the fun begin. Because now, everyone that believes in you will be able to do the same work that you did. To make me known. Wow. Do you think most people know that truth? Yeah. I don't know the percentages, and I'm not going to go out and ask Zogby to do a poll. But I'll bet there's a very small percentage who, maybe if they've read it, they just kind of like, I don't know that that's true. But it is true. That's what the mystery was all about. That's what God kept secret. He said, I'm not going to let anyone know that after they crucify you and I raise you from the dead, they know I'm going to do that. Because I told David, I'm not going to let my Holy One see corruption. I gave him a great example with Jonah. You know, 3 days and three nights being digested in the whale's belly. I gave him a great example with that because I had that old fish spit him up and I made him whole again. Just like Jonah was 3 days, three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Everybody knew I was going to raise him from the dead, but what they didn't know is that once I do that, I'm going to make everyone as capable and able and powerful as my only begotten Son. Everyone that believes on Him. And that is just so powerful. If we will just but believe it and say, be it unto me according to your word. You say it's Christ in me. You say I can do the works that your Son Jesus Christ did. Then bring it on. Open the doors for me to do it, Father. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to see your power live. Right? We want to speak to hungry people who want to hear, right? And will believe. And God will do that. It's like what it says here in 18, chapter 18. Chapter 18, after Paul had been preaching, teaching, seeing great signs, miracles, and wonders, it says that he came to Corinth. He found a certain Jew in verse 2 named Aquila. His wife Priscilla came unto them because he was of the same craft. He abode with them and worked. For by their occupation they were tent makers. They worked together. He didn't have any other way to maintain, to take care of his own life. So he worked. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He endeavored to persuade them. Some he did, some he didn't. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He's the one you've been waiting for. This Jesus of Nazareth, He's the Messiah. How do I know that? Because God raised Him from the dead. That was the message. Because God raised Him from the dead. He was telling them that Jesus was Christ. He wasn't saying, you better believe or you're going to go to hell. He's saying, Jesus is the Christ. God raised Him from the dead. You need to believe that. You need to change your mind about who you thought He was and believe who he is. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, I said, nah, nothing good could come out of Galilee. I know it. I've heard stories of Him. He shook His raiment, said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth I'll go unto the Gentiles. I'm tired of arguing with you people. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue, right next door to the synagogue. You know? He didn't go very far, did he? I'm out of here. Went right next door. It's a Justus house. And Crispus, verse 8, the chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house. Hey, how about that? The chief ruler of the synagogue wound up believing with the Lord, with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. They were born again. And then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Now, he was speaking. He was continuing to speak. And yet, the encouragement to him was, don't be afraid. Keep going. You know, it would have been a little bit discouraging at times. He'd been there for a while. All he got were arguments at the synagogue. And he's telling them, he's proving to them, he's showing them all the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and that Jesus fit them, He fulfilled them. And they're still like, nah, 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 nah. And he could have been a little discouraged. You know, even though there were some that believed. Right? And look at the encouragement. Don't be afraid. Keep speaking. Why? Why? Hold not thy peace. Verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. I've got many people. I have many people in this city. You know, sometimes we desire to share the word. We try and encourage people to believe God that nothing's impossible. You can receive your healing if you want. You can see a God who's all powerful and all loving and loves you and wants to care for you. You can see this if you will just believe. And you get a, well, I don't know, I think I'll just go to the doctor and I don't know. If it's God's will, maybe He'll heal me. And I don't know. My dad tried that and he died. It's like all the excuses, and it's frustrating sometimes, especially in the face of what the church is to look like. And yet Paul was faced with the same thing. And the angel came and said, just keep speaking. Keep sharing. Keep proclaiming. Because I have much people in this city. But I've spoke to I don't know how many. I have many people. I know who they are. Just keep your mouth going and I'll bring them in front of you. Just keep speaking. Don't be afraid. You keep telling people that the power of God is present to heal them. You keep telling yourself that you are a son or a daughter of God and that it is Christ in you. You keep saying that to yourself. You know who you are. You know who God has called you to be. He has called you. He has proclaimed who He has made you. And He has set the stage for us to know what the church is to look like. A church that is filled with the power of God. Because it's the power of God that brings great deliverance to people, that causes great praise to God. God wants you to know, and He wants others to know, how great a Heavenly Father He is. There are many people that still want to know. So, that is my encouragement to you. All right? So, Father, thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for what You have called us to, and that we know what the church is to look like. And that as we continue to look to You and to trust You and to trust what Your Word says about us and who we are, that we continue to see the great signs, miracles, and wonders follow us as we continue to speak. Father, thank You that You're there with us, You're backing us up, and that You will bring those hungry people to us, those ones that desire to say, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. We're thankful, Father, for Your power, Your strength, most of all for Your grace and Your mercy in having privileged us and called us and allowed us to be a part of Your family and to have Christ in us. Thanks, Father, for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ.